This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Hello and welcome to another special Technorama interview. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. This time I get to talk to Jimmy Hastel. Jimmy is one of the key people behind Podcast User Magazine, the premier magazine for podcast producers and podcast listeners. Also in the studio, we have Richard Vobes from the Richard Vobes Radio Show. Jimmy and Richard are visiting from the U.S. gathering audio for Richard's show. I have the honor of hosting them for a couple of days, and when we started making small talk about Podcast User Magazine, I offered to record it as an interview, and the next thing I know, here we are. Welcome to Technorama, Jimmy.
Oh, sorry, did you want me to reply?
He's dozed off again.
I was looking for that visual hint, you know, like you throw something at me like Richard does. It bounces off the top of my head and go, oh, hello. Hello.
He doesn't have a glass in front of him this time
either. That's true.
Jimmy, tell us about how the concept of Podcast User Magazine got started.
Funny you should ask that, and I'm glad you have.
It's right here on the notes.
I know, I told you to put it there. It started off as a small seed of an idea. I thought one thing that's missing, and I'm sure all podcasters will agree, that there is no magazine, no central place. I thought it'd be a good idea to get one started. And I thought, initially, of course, I thought of Richard, but he's way too busy. He'd probably like the idea, but he wouldn't be able to help me follow it through. And so I posted it on a forum on Brickcasters. And a couple of people showed interest, and then that interest started to rise and rise. And then I think it was Paul Pinfield who actually started to put us together, saying, well, come on, let's not just talk about it, let's do something. And so a collective of about 12 of us initially got together and think, well, what do we do? How do we structure it? And then I think we wasted a bit of time at first, as you do, thinking, ooh, what sort of logo should we have?
But when was this that you got the idea and started doing the forum?
Well, we started in January, starting to put it together. And we all came together and we all started to write articles. And we thought, we'll have a go and we'll try and put this together. And it was put together in a PDF format and it came out. And, well, it's been an uphill success from there. And I think in the first 2 weeks we had over 3,000 downloads.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal.
Well, you were planning it in January and you had something out in February. That's a very fast collaboration.
Brilliant, thinking that all the people involved, none of them are within driving distance of each other.
Sure.
Everything was done over email and through a central point. Or not even a central point, actually. Emails were going back and forth. I mean, we were hotting up the wires. But it was incredible. And this is something, actually, I find is a bit of a nuisance, is when you do something like this, that people are so far apart, you can't get the communication. That is a big problem. And we've tried using things like Skype and Google to get together, but you know what it's like. You get three or four on Skype or Google, and the whole thing just falls apart.
Well, just coordinating the schedules. How many people are involved with the production of this on a regular basis?
On a regular basis, I'd say there's about 11 now. We've had one dropout definite. There's another possible one or two on the way. Like a lot of things, people show immediate interest and they have enthusiasm. But, of course, it wanes after a while. And it does take a little bit of time to put something together.
Who are the core people at the core of this whole thing?
Linda Mills, who is actually in Delaware, and she's the copywriter, and I tend to look at her as the core person because she looks at every single article that comes in, and she obviously corrects it, the grammar and everything, and she studies it as well. She knows or knew nothing about podcasting and has learnt a great deal from that, and the feedback we get from her is like an outsider looking in going, well, hang on, I don't understand this or whatever, and we can clarify it and put things right. So she does act, in a way, as a bit of a mentor. Oh, just go on to the next one. I'm sorry.
Now, Linda, it's kind of interesting that the seed was born in the UK, but yet Linda's in Delaware. Are there other people in other countries helping out with this?
There is another podcaster, but he's actually English. but he's in America.
It's making ironic. This terribly confusing.
It is. I mean, it's most of the people here are English, but we don't want to be tarred with the UK only brush.
Right.
We are international. We really want to be international. So we are now spreading our wings. I mean, I've written to Mommycast,
mm-hmm.
and they've done a little five questions for me. I've asked them five questions and they've replied. So hopefully they're going to be in the next issue. And once we can start spreading and getting more people in, this is what I'm really looking for. I'm looking for growth, particularly in America, because that is the market at the moment. We've identified that.
Okay.
But we like to put what we think is the British slant on it. Because the American podcasting magazines are just starting to appear, but haven't fully fledged yet.
You've got to jump on them.
We've got to jump on them, but they're very politically, in a way, and we don't want that. We want to educate and inform rather than, I feel, talk down to.
What types of tools do you use to produce this? What's the software behind the whole thing?
It's Adobe InCreative, is it called? That creates a PDF file.
Okay.
Which is done by Paul Pinfield, who's done a marvellous job putting this together. It's had a couple of style changes, because it's brand new, so it's growing. So you've got to expect some changes as they go mm-hmm. along. But I know he's got very busy of late, so we may see a slight alteration in that. And hopefully we can get two or three more people involved who can put the magazine together as well. You've got to have someone you can fall back on.
Right.
And this is something we've discovered. Don't rely too much on people, because they're all volunteering their time. No one gets paid for any of this.
Okay.
So we've got to make sure that we've guarded our back door, as it were.
Now, looking ahead, what is the vision? Where do you want to take this publication?
We want to keep it more or less the way it is. We've identified, and it has been told to us by several people, that it's far too much aimed at podcasters.
Okay.
We need to bring in the pod listeners. That's the important, because that's a new growth area. So we want a magazine they can pick up or read that informs them straight away of what a podcast is, get rid of some of the misnomers that are going around the internet, and to educate in the simplest way possible. So that's mm-hmm. our target. For magazine growth, we will be looking at advertising, because we do need to support this. It's going to start having costs. We have to have our own server. I can see a forum developing and things like that. So advertising will come in, but we want to be selective about it.
Certainly.
We're not going to have whole page spreads on iTunes or anything, because that's just not us. We're sure. not that sort of magazine.
You mentioned the servers and things. What types of growth are you seeing? Have there been any recent figures since that?
Up to issue 3, we had a total download of 8,000.
Wow.
We did see it. We've seen a drop on issue 2 and a drop on issue 3. But I think it's because they're now taking from other sources, because we've RSS and everything like that. So we're only taking hits from the webpage account. So we can't get a true accurate figure. So once we've got that under our belt, we know where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
And advertisers, they're going to ask us, how many people are reading it? So we've got to be able to produce those figures. So that's something we've really got to look into.
What types of communications are you using between the team members to get the edits and select the articles and that kind of thing?
Right. Well, for chatting, we use Skype and Google, but we use Writerly, which is, I think it's just been bought by Google, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I'll have to double check that.
But yeah, which is initially it was a place where everyone could write their article and then just paste it in, and everyone else can read it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we found when that was lifted from there and put onto the PDF, the formatting screwed up completely.
Mm-hmm.
So now we send the whole article up direct to Linda, who sorts it out and does all that, and then it's all corrected and sent on to Paul ready for publication. But a copy is put into Writerly so we can all look in and we can all make sure we haven't written two similar items, because this is the point when we say, oh, remove that, that's not appropriate, or they can come out because something's suddenly come up, we need to be able to put that in. So we've got that flexibility up until the last couple of days. So that's about all we use.
Who's doing the article selection?
No one really.
Is it pretty much You write it, we'll edit it, and in it goes?
Yeah, everyone does at least one item. Well, I tend to do three, to be quite honest. I will do one reasonable item, then a couple of fillers. And we always put notes on saying, this is a general interest item, this is a podcast item, this is a listener item, so Linda knows where it is, there's a word count with it. And filler items, she knows automatically that only needs to go in if there's a gap or whatever. So we try to cover all those eventualities. Yeah, I would like to know from the people that have read this magazine what they think, what they would like to see improved, and what they think of PDF as a general form of communication.
I'm going to start in reverse. General form of communications, I think PDF works well.
Why?
It keeps your formatting the way you intended.
Uh-huh.
HTML can still be rendered a different way on Firefox than it is on IE, and it's very difficult to get your presentation just the way you want it without a lot of hoops and circles.
Yep.
So PDF works well for that. As a subscription method, though, if I'm pulling it down in iTunes, it gets kind of clunky.
Yeah.
You get it in iTunes, and you can't really play it, so it doesn't go away from your smart playlist, and it gets a little nasty there. Oftentimes, what I've done, and you're holding it in your hand, is I take the PDF and print it out. I can carry it around with me if I'm in a meeting and somebody doesn't show up for 5 minutes. Hey, I read an article or two. I take it on the airplane with me. It goes where I want to go. Yes, I can do that on a PDF with my PDA or my laptop or something, but there's something easier, and my wife will testify this, about holding the paper in your hand and reading it and maybe making some markups and getting comments back to you. That's what I like about the PDF and a printed result from that as well. HTML does not print well.
No. As you say, the formatting of between Firefox and IE can screw the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. Where I would like to see it go, I'm not real sure. I'm leaving that up to you. I was blown away by issue number one. It was professional, well done, nicely laid out. And then you came out with issue number two in March, and it was even better.
Wow.
I couldn't understand how you could make that any better, but it had some fine touches on it that made it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because it's still a new medium, as you mentioned, a new publication, it's going to take a little bit of experimentation. You know, you try this layout, and you move the columns over there, and just some fine-tuning along the way, and it will be interesting. We'll try and keep available keep the feedback coming back to you.
Excellent.
As to what works. You know, did this work in this inversed color? Do you like the black header with white letters or the other way around? You know, if you want the caption on the picture, below the picture, that kind of thing. That works out real well. I know there's going to be some experimentation, and then you're probably going to find that magic formula and stick with it for a while.
Oh, yes.
And you know, through time, it will evolve and change a little bit, but it's very well done.
Oh, excellent. I'm so pleased. I shall pass that on to the team. They'd be very pleased. Excellent stuff. But Richard, do you have any...
Yeah, I'd like to ask about the PDF thing, whether the technical people like PDFs, the geeks, the current podcast listeners, and whether a complete novice audience, for example, I don't know, a friend of mine down the road, say, I can't remember, Steve Pegram, who was a mate of mine who played Half-Life and was just getting into it, and if he thought, yeah, I'm quite interested in podcasting, not overly a computer man, whether he would find a PDF a bit of a geeky format rather than just hitting a website where you can click the links instantly, you can follow up, go to websites, you can play MP3 files from it, you can download videos about the articles, you can go on from there. It's more interactive, purely because it's on the net.
Well, you got some good points there.
You can embed the links in there if you do have the HTTP links or the URLs to the MP3 files or someone else's website. They will follow through. So if you're looking at it in Adobe Reader and you click on that link, your browser will come up and you'll be taken there. But you won't be able to play it, and there is something to be said for the unwashed masses who don't know what a PDF is. The first time they download it, it will come up and say, what would you like me to do with this? You say, well, save it to my desktop or open it up. And they say, well, open it up with what?
Because, you know, we are swamped with more software to download, and if you haven't got Acrobat Reader or if you haven't got Foxit Reader and... you don't want to add a bit more. I mean, Daisy, for example, may be interested to read an article about what I've been doing or something. And she's just understanding what podcasting, but if she saw she had to download any software, she wouldn't. Simple as that.
That might be an interesting suggestion on the website, is put some of the key articles and the highlights and underneath them or next to them, you know, if you want to read the full rich content, the whole magazine, here is a helper application, if you will, with a link to Acrobat Reader.
Yes, I think we're missing that link to Acrobat Reader. We should have that there.
Mm-hmm. Could you not do both? I mean, if you've got the content, it's a cut and paste job to do both, one available in PDF, one available on the web.
The layout would have to change, obviously, but the content could still be the same. I mean, look at CNN or the BBC. Their content is available on the web.
That's true.
And it's up. I mean, the other thing is it's updatable. So if you've got an article that is wrong, that somebody comes back and says, or you've done a review and suddenly that item has been taken back or pulled for some reason, if it's in HTML or any sort of web browsing system, you can immediately correct that so that the next time the visitor goes to the site, it's there. In a PDF, you've printed it, it's there, you can't change it.
That almost leads to another interesting experiment. Is rather than a monthly publication, could you take these articles on demand and edit them and post them and make it a continuous publication? So if I submit an article on Richard Vobe's U.S. tour, we could have that available next week after it's been submitted, edited, and published.
Mm, that's a good idea. It's unusual.
Does that not change it to a blog?
In some ways, but isn't the BBC doing the same thing on a daily news basis?
Well, that's true, yes, a daily news feed.
These are things that certainly are due for consideration. I think you come up with some very good ideas.
That's what we're here for.
Because the PDF is great. I think you've done it to print it out. It looks really nice, and it does look like a magazine.
Exactly.
And that's fine if you can print it and you can afford to. I couldn't afford to print it out. I mean, I just couldn't afford the ink to print it out, even because it's how many pages?
That one's 45, 48.
Yeah. I mean, it would just take. A, it would take forever. And B, I wouldn't necessarily read everything unless I went through and itemized which ones I want to print, which, well, where's the point of that? I might as well sit and read it whilst it's there. But the other thing is, it looks great, but if you're reading it online, it's a hassle to keep moving the bloody pages around. I mean, it looks like something that should be printed. Which is great if it is printed. If it isn't printed, I would rather see a more text version without all the design and style, like the BBC website, that you can just get the information without all the glitz, because you don't need the glitz. It's not glossy when it's on the computer.
Maybe a monthly summary of the highlighted articles in a PDF format. But you're right. The only time you would add the pictures is when it contributes something, like a screenshot of the latest audio capture program or something.
Yeah, and we could do so much more of it on the web, as it were, as things change. And we can go deeper. And as you say, there's the links and all that. And people are, with the people that supply software and hardware, they've been ever so good to us. So we can link back to them. And they could also, if they wanted to, supply something a little bit special for us to make it a bit more exclusive. So there's another avenue we can look there.
I'm going to raise another question, which I've raised a number of times with the podcast User Magazine. I would like to be able to listen to the magazine on my PC or as a podcast, not suggesting that the magazine be a podcast as such, and I'm sure a number of blind readers, listeners, whatever, would like to be able to access the magazine without perhaps going through some of these goddamn awful reading devices that they have to rely on. And because it is a podcast magazine, it does seem a little ironic that there are not available a read aloud version of it, so that you could select the articles that you're interested in, they come down by RSS individually, and that you can just click play, so as you're doing something else it can be reading to you the magazine. It doesn't have to have music, doesn't have to have silly effects, doesn't have to have all the awful idents and all the stuff we associate with podcast. It just reads the text.
In a natural human voice.
Just like, you know, like the news. It reads the text without being rushed, without being stupid, without anything else, just in a business fashion way that tells you what's in it. Just like a read, just like a book, an audio book. Now, to me, I would love to be able to, because I would read it more that way.
If you could hear it.
If I could hear it.
You'd get the listener time in the car or when they're available. I listen to a lot of audiobooks for that very same reason. I don't have time to always sit down in the evening and crack open a book for an hour or two. But, boy, if I'm driving down the road, there's a whole bunch of listening time.
Because you wouldn't want to print, you wouldn't necessarily want to read all the technical ones that tell you how to edit something and look at this chart there and look at that chart there, because that's something you want to reference and you need to go back to and go, right. Oh, right, what is it? Step one, do this. Step two, okay. But for the opinions, for the some of the advice or some of the reader's letters and that kind of text, that to me would be great to be just to be able to listen to, because you could just switch it on.
What if you took it to another level? MP3s can be concatenated together. So if you read each article and then let the web subscriber or web viewer say, I want that article, that article, that article, now they've got a customized MP3. They're just glued together, and there you go.
That's it, yeah.
Or as an RSS feed, as the article is published on the blog, as it were, it would also be available in audio format in an audio feed. So now you're getting them as they become available. It's not so overwhelming. Oh my gosh, I've got 45 pages to read this month. And it sort of fizzles out after the first week. They're getting a little bit of fresh content, you know, 3 minute section here, 5 minute article there. Might be something to explore.
Yeah, good idea. Certainly worth exploring. I'm in favor of an MP3, I have to admit.
Richard, Jimmy, thank you very much. We've learned a lot. We've explored a lot.
Good, some good ideas have come out of that. I enjoyed that.
And we will talk to you again soon.
Super.
I look forward to it.
Bye now.
And thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about Podcast User Magazine, you can go to podcastusermagazine.com. Richard can be found at vobes.com, and more of my interviews are available at chuckchat.com. If you'd like to reach me, send an email to chuck@chuckchat.com. Thanks again for listening, and take care.